This morning, I want to continue on with taking a look at the petitions of the Lord's Prayer and how we make room for Jesus with us within our lives during Lent, and taking an example from the gospel reading. And today, the fig tree that didn't bear fruit gives us an awfully good example, I think, of how forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us works in our lives to make more room for Jesus. So as I was preparing about this, I thought of something that went on that my daughter and I were going to do when she was a teenager. We were going to make some rice pudding. So, we got the rice and all the other ingredients, turned on the oven, put it all together, put it in the oven, and took it out at the right time and found that we had forgotten to do one thing. And that was cook the rice before we put it into the pudding. So it was very crunchy, very crunchy. The result was to be rice pudding, but the outcome was not, as you could imagine. That was the goal. Now, when Jesus calls us, and the goal of living a Christian life is to bear fruit, and sometimes the outcome is not. So how do you cook that rice? That's what I'm going to go over with you today. How do you cook that rice so that you're actually bearing fruit? You're making room for Jesus. And you may have already guessed, the way you cook that rice is repentance. Forgiving as you have been forgiven by the Lord. That cooks the rice that helps you make more room for Jesus, by which you bear fruit. Everybody with me? Should I just let it go at that? And you could do it. Thank you for not saying yes. Okay. It's your ongoing relationship with Jesus which leads us through repentance to bearing fruit. That's what we're going to look at today. And I'm going to look at it at two levels, individually as well as in a community, how a community bears fruit and how that works today in our society today. Okay. So, the parable of the fig tree. Here's this poor fig tree that hasn't borne any fruit for 3 years. And the owner's very upset about that. Now, some of you who are more familiar with gardening than I am, you may want to check me on this one. But I think a fig tree takes 3 years to bear fruit. The third year out, you should see something. Is that correct? Sounds right. I'll take that. All right, very good. Okay. Yeah, sounds right to me. So here it is. The owner's looking for fruit on the year that there should be fruit, and there is no fruit. So obviously he's very, very upset about this and said, well, what's with this fig tree? Cut it down. And the gardener wants to keep it one more year. To which the owner says, okay. That's like Jesus saying to us, stay with me so that we can bear fruit for the kingdom of God. In other words, Jesus is always going to say what the gardener says. A little more time. Receive a little more. See what happens. Stay with me. Or, to use the Bible term, abide with me. You'll bear much fruit. That's what's going on here. Otherwise, you will not be bearing the fruit you were created to bear. Very powerful kind of thing that Jesus introduces into our lives. A fig tree just bears figs. You won't go to a fig tree to get apples. You and I were created to bear the fruit that you and I were created to bear. We don't bear fruit that other people are supposed to bear. In your life, you bear the fruit that Jesus wants you to bear. It might look similar to other people's fruits, but it's yours. It's what he wants. Saint Francis is created to bear the fruit that Jesus wants it to bear. We don't bear fruit like other churches do. It might look similar, and there might be some things that are very much the same, but it's us, it's our voice, it's our heart, it's the things that Jesus created within us. And the way that we get to that is repentance. See, if we are holding on to an offense that happened to us, even as an individual or as a church, and we've looked at this before, but you know it's slippery. if we are holding on to an offense and demanding within ourselves that that would have never happened, that the past would have been different, that demand, that energy, that space that that offense takes crowds out the room that we need to invite Jesus in. It crowds out the room with which we abide with Jesus, or hang out, right? However you like to call that, so that we can then be bearing fruit. In other words, it chokes out our ability to bear fruit. So we let that go so that we can bear fruit that we were created to bear, to do the things that Jesus wants us to do, the things we were created to do. Now, our tendency towards this, which is a good one, I don't want to shortchange this at all, but we have a tendency, which is to apply this individually. Very excellent place to start, applying it individually. And it's good for us to apply it to ourselves personally and individually. So, like this morning, if you need to make amends to somebody, it's a really good thing to go do that, unless it's really going to hurt that person. But if you need to make amends, I suggest doing that quickly and clearly. That is forgiving as we have been forgiven, giving and receiving forgiveness. I'm tempted to ask you, does anybody need to do that? But you know who you are. Just go do what you need to do. And that will make the room for Jesus and you to be together so that you get to the place of bearing fruit. Now, if someone else comes to you making amends, saying, hey, I did something to you, I never should have done it, said it, thought it, whatever, that never should have happened, then you receive that as fully as you're able to receive, offering the forgiveness that you can do. In other words, if there's a wrong done, set it right. Set it right in the power of the Spirit, just as God has done with you. Our tendency is to see that, to do it. It may take us a little while to get to do it, but to finally do it, eventually get to that place as the Spirit gives us power, and then to keep it at the individual basis. And I want to encourage you to do that. Never give that up. But what I want to do is also show how that works in a community, for a community like St. Francis. How might St. Francis bear fruit? Go through the path of repentance to bearing fruit. Well, I mean, one of the things that we start with is the assumption is that God wants us to be part of bearing fruit with the community. That together we bear the fruit that God wants us to bear, that only St. Francis can bear. And we're a part of that. And the example that I want to use today is race relations. Would that be all right? Okay, I'll take that as an enthusiastic, please go on. The example for today with race is, because it's all over the place. I mean, here you go, it's somewhere, and it spikes from time to time, but it's always there. And if we look at race in America today with an individualistic approach only, just individually, and we stop there, we'll find that we need to do a little more for it to work on a community level. Now, we might apply it individually like this. And some of you may think this. I think it. This is how I do it. I did not do anything to people of another race, black people, other people of color, so I'm not responsible. Well, no, if I didn't do anything, I'm not responsible for it, right? Okay, the enthusiasm is waning a bit, but I'm still hearing yes, okay. I was not there when black people were so badly mistreated in our history, so I'm not held responsible for that. Okay, I wasn't. I can I can understand all that. I think a number of you feel that way. What happens sometimes when race relations are in front of us is that we can get offended. For example, I read Caste with some of you, and some of you, we read some things, some of the awful things that went on. And I did not feel guilty as a white person for that. Now, I know some of you, when you come up with these things, when you're faced with these things, you think they're trying to make me feel guilty. And I don't want to talk you out of that. I don't want to tell you your response is off or anything like that at all. I respect that response. It just wasn't mine. We have different experiences when some of this history is brought up. And that's just fine. In fact, if you need for me to encourage you to hold on to your opinion, I will do that. You are entitled to your opinion, and I'll defend your right to have it. What I want to point out this morning about race, about repentance, about bearing fruit, is what's our real goal. What is the goal of St. Francis Episcopal Church in this area? Now, you can apply this to any other area that you want, but I'm using this because I think I have your attention with it. Okay. Our target, our goal at St. Francis Episcopal Church is not to get other people to agree with our point of view or to show them where they may be wrong or to convince them of something that they're thinking now is wrong or convince them otherwise. That's not our goal. Really, I'm not able to do that anyway, are you? No. I mean, so let's just not do that. It is not focusing on white power, supremacy, on black power, or anything like that. That's not our goal. Our goal is to be about continually becoming a healing, reconciling community of the kingdom of God. In whatever way Jesus leads us to do that right now. However that might work, as a community. How would St. Francis become a healing, reconciling community of the kingdom of God, which portrays that and extends that into the surrounding area? To anyone and everyone of any race, any color, any nationality, whatever it may be. And are there ways that the Lord may want for us to think differently so that we can do that? I mean, I don't know. I don't have any to suggest. But if they're there, what we do is change our minds. Because our goal is to bear the fruit of being a healing, reconciling community. Just like individually, our goal is to extend the forgiveness of God and receive the forgiveness of God so that that relationship can be healed. Is there something like that here that Jesus would have us pick up so that we can be the healing, reconciling community that God wants us to be? So that we can be the ones who are hospitable to anyone and everyone that is around. So that we can demonstrate what the open arms of Jesus are to absolutely everyone that we come in contact with. so that we can show what the open arms of Jesus are at this table, in this fellowship? Are there ways that the Lord would have us maybe make a shift, maybe do something that's different, so that everyone who sees us, knows us, hears of us, knows that they are invited and encouraged into the family of God? Do we need to do something? So that anything that keeps us from that is washed away. Whether it's about race, economics, politics, whatever. Because when we do that, when we are the healing, reconciling community of God, whose hospitality is so open and so powerful that people know that they are encouraged into the family of God, when we do that, we are bearing fruit as a community. We're bearing fruit as a church. We're extending healing. We're extending openness. We're extending restoration. We're extending a place at the table. We're extending an ability for you to do what you are called to do in this place, where you will be encouraged beyond what you have ever experienced. To get to that point means that we make room for Jesus within our own hearts, and then we make room for Jesus by doing whatever work of forgiveness we need to do, whether it's giving or receiving it. And it means that we keep looking at the question, are we fulfilling the mission that God has given us, which is to invite everyone around us into the family of God? When I was in Arizona, one of the churches that I was overseeing is called St. Jude's. I've mentioned it to you from time to time. And St. Jude's was a very diverse place, a very diverse congregation, people mostly around 20 years old. Some of us were older, and we realized we were older. But these were kids who were Spanish-speaking. Some of them were Black. We were in central of Phoenix. Many of them had connection with gangs. In school, they would have hated each other. And us. The white guys who were the clergy, who were trying to do whatever it was we were trying to do there. And it was working really well. Until they saw what Jesus asked of them. And they put down the racial divide, and they put down the economic divide. And some of these guys who were, as I've mentioned to you before in years past, who were like 18 or so, would come to the discipleship group and say to one of the leaders, these are our gang colors. It was usually some kind of bandana. These are our gang colors. They show that we're in the gang family. We wanted to burn them while you watched, to show that we're in the family of Jesus. And all these people here around us that are different than us, they're our family now. And the first time I did communion with them, because they had never been to communion before, it was at somebody's house or at the table, I said, when I'm explaining it, when we get to this part, what you do is you come up to the table and you'll get the bread and the wine. So we got to that part, and they all got up all at the same time, and they went and they stood against the table like this, all like this, because they all were together and they were all a family, and there had been reconciliation and repentance, and now the fruit of the kingdom was being born. Now, you and I do not live in the center of Phoenix, and we're not 20 years old, and I don't think any of us have been in gangs. Okay, no, good. All right, at least no one admitted it. But it's the same Jesus. It's the same kingdom. It's the same kind of thing that goes on in our hearts. It's the same kind of thing that goes on together among us. And what we can do by making room for Jesus, by being careful about our own individual repentance, our own attitudes towards others, our own thoughts about forgiveness, by asking Jesus to take care of that and do within us what has to be done, we are able to move together into a place where, as a community, we are bearing the fruit of the kingdom of God. That's our goal. That's where we're headed. That's what Jesus is calling us to. When he says, follow me, that's where he's going. And that's where we want to go to. All right. Now I realize I haven't made that kind of a line from individual to community too much. And I thought using race, well, okay, let's just go for it. If you want to ask me some more about that afterwards during the coffee hour, that's fine. I'll do my best to be coherent after worship. Or later in the week, that'll be fine. Call, email, whatever it is. Next month will be fine. Just whenever. See, because our goal is to become that kind of community. Anytime and all the time. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you are doing in us and through us and among us. We ask that you continue to do more. Do what you desire to do. Help us to hear your voice say, follow me. And that we would become the healing, reconciling community of the kingdom of God, whose hospitality is open and powerful, and whose table is always open. And we ask that today for the glory of your name. Amen.